Section 3, How Voters Decide. You have probably heard that American voter turnout is among the lowest in the world compared to other advanced democracies. Consider a recent comparison of the 2012 U.S. voter turnout of 54% to recent elections in OECD, Organization for Economic and Cooperation Development countries, most of whom are highly developed democracies. The United States came in 31st out of 34 OECD countries, with Belgium, Turkey, and Sweden coming in as the top three. Some of these countries have mandatory voting laws, including Belgium and Turkey, which encourage greater rates of participation. In fact, U.S. voter turnout tends to be the highest in presidential elections, typically around 55 to 60% of the voting age population, but drops to 35 to 40% in midterm elections, and is often much lower, in the 15 to 25% range for primary and local elections. But looking at overall voter turnout numbers does not tell us the full story. It is also important to consider which Americans are most likely to take the trouble to register and vote, and which are least likely to do so. Slide. Compulsory Voting in the World, 2011. Who votes? Who doesn't vote? There are clear patterns in voter participation, with certain groups voting more frequently and consistently than others. One of the most striking contrasts is between Americans under 30, who had a 45% voter turnout in 2012, compared to 66% among those 30 and older. In addition, Americans with college educations and higher incomes tend to vote more often than those with less education and lower incomes. Whites tend to vote more often than Hispanic and Asian Americans. African Americans, however, have tended to vote in high numbers in recent years, particularly in the 2008 election and 2012 re-election of Barack Obama, the first African American president. Why do we see these consistent patterns of voting and non-voting in American elections? Education plays an important role, both in teaching new generations about political values and culture, and in helping young people become comfortable discussing and evaluating the important issues of the day. Over time, the specific issues under debate will change, whether the focus is on the Cold War, abortion, terrorism, immigration, or marriage equality. But the ability to follow the public debate and to feel confident about your own views on the issues are important aspects of what students can learn through the civic education and political socialization process. Higher education plays a particularly important role in building students' critical thinking and analytical skills, and citizenship and social responsibility are often explicitly emphasized in the college curriculum. All of these factors help explain why those with higher levels of education tend to be more politically engaged in the U.S. How do voters decide? There are three main factors that influence voter choice in the United States: partisanship, issues, and candidates. Of these three, partisanship plays the largest role by far. If you want to predict how someone will vote, ask which party they tend to support, and you will probably have at least a 90% chance of guessing which candidate they will choose. Slide. A Spectrum of Voters and Non-Voters, 2008. Partisanship plays a strong role in American voting because of our two-party system and the fact that party identification tends to remain consistent throughout life once established. While it is true that more Americans consider themselves political independents now than in the past, most will end up choosing either a Democrat or a Republican on the ballot on Election Day. And that party choice tends to be very reliable. The more often a person votes for a party, the stronger their sense of identification as a loyal party member grows, so that older voters often express stronger party ties than younger voters. This stronger loyalty is one reason that voter turnout tends to be higher among older Americans. Issues also affect vote choice. With the state of the national economy and national security playing particularly important roles, if the nation is in an economic recession or engaged in a war, these issues will tend to dominate the public agenda. Other issues will vary in prominence from one election cycle to the next, but social welfare issues, such as Social Security and healthcare reform, economic issues such as jobs and income inequality, and social issues such as abortion and marriage equality have all been important in recent campaign cycles. While voters do consider the issues in deciding how to vote, these choices tend to be guided by partisanship to a large extent. Once voters have identified with a party, they tend to go along with the party positions on most of the issues, except when they have a very strong opinion on a particular issue, such as abortion or the environment. The small number of citizens who base their vote on one overriding issue are known as single-issue voters. Candidates for public office are essentially applying for a job. Voters must sift through a lot of information in order to make an informed decision as to who would be the best person to fill the job. Candidates always highlight their greatest accomplishments and the things that will make them seem strong and altruistic. Slide. Hang in there. As soon as we can figure out how to be reelected, we'll get back to you. If in the year 2000, Al Gore and George W. Bush had submitted resumes to the people as a part of the elections hiring process, the documents may have looked something like this. Both men were from wealthy, well-connected political families. It was a contentious race, with both candidates facing distortions of their records. The race was decided by the Supreme Court. Slide. How voters assess candidates, 2015. The final important factor affecting vote choice is the candidates themselves. Generally speaking, voters prefer candidates who are strong leaders, trustworthy, and caring. In reality, each candidate has their own strengths and weaknesses, so voters often end up trading off one preferred characteristic for another. Voters judge candidates based on their experience and past record in office, campaign appearances and ads, debates, and increasingly on their issue positions and other information presented on candidate websites. U.S. presidential elections get the most attention from media and voters every 4 years. But congressional, state, and local elections are also influenced by several other factors. Members of Congress benefit greatly from incumbency advantage, meaning that a sitting representative or senator has a very good chance of winning re-election if they choose to run. Members of Congress face no term limits, unlike elected representatives in some states, and may end up serving in Washington for decades. It is far more likely for incumbents to be defeated by primary election challengers from their own party, who attack them for having drifted away from their party base and have become career politicians, than to suffer defeat in the general election. How do candidates try to win your vote? Let us count the ways. All candidates share a single-minded goal, and that is to be elected. In our winner-take-all system, the stakes are high, and a great deal of money and effort goes into winning the voters over. Technological advances in recent years have made it easier for candidates to put their message out through websites, social media, and low-cost internet ads. But the main method of communication is still television. Although Americans complain about the sheer number and negative tone of political ads that fill TV airwaves during election years, the fact remains that these ads get voters' attention and can be effective, so candidates continue to use them. The 1996 presidential debate provided several good examples of the ways candidates try to influence people to vote for them. They also let people know more about the candidate as a person, because the debaters respond not only to the question, but to one another as people. This 3-minute selection deals with an issue which many Americans were concerned with in 1996 and are still concerned with today, Medicare. Note the way that candidate Bill Clinton talks about the issue in terms of his opponent Bob Dole and the Republican Party. Note also historical references made by Dole and the manner in which Dole personalizes the issue of Medicare to demonstrate empathy and compassion for those who need medical care and the Medicare program. Take note as well to the manner in which the two candidates relate to each other. Slide. 1996 Presidential Debate in Hartford, Connecticut. Debates are another way for candidates to present themselves to the voters. Presidential debates get the most media attention, but rarely have a large impact on a voter's choice unless one candidate does a particularly poor job or makes a major gaffe. Presidential primary debates can have more of an impact, especially when there are a number of candidates in the field. They give party voters a chance to compare the candidates side by side and can help lesser-known candidates build name recognition and support. Debates also make for good political theater and can be a fun and entertaining way to learn more about the issues of the day and the personalities of the candidates who are competing for your vote. Where can you get good, unbiased information about politics? With the rise of digital culture, information is more easily available than ever before. But sorting out the good, trustworthy information can be a significant challenge. When it comes to politics, where should you look and who can you trust? Browsing candidates' websites can give you a lot of in-depth information about their positions on the issues, their biographies, and the other politicians and groups that are supporting them through endorsements. However, this information is carefully crafted to give you the best possible impression of that candidate, and the same is true for the opponent's website. But there are numerous other sources of information about political issues and candidates that can help you determine where you stand and which party or person is the closest match to your own views and interests. Slide. Quiet, it's a retrospective of hostile political ads we may have missed. News sources are a good place to start, and many media organizations prepare election-specific comparisons or scorecards summarizing candidate positions on various issues. National media websites for newspapers such as the New York Times and Washington Post, and the major TV networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, provide extensive coverage and detail on political news. Public media sources, including PBS, especially NewsHour, and NPR, National Public Radio, also provide detailed political coverage of candidates, issues, and elections. Additional media sources, such as local or regional newspapers and TV affiliates, provide more tailored coverage and analysis of campaign issues, as well as newspaper editorial broad endorsements of candidates that may prove valuable to voters seeking a local perspective.